Tak bisa begitu nggak aku tadi ini makanya.
Today we have some guests from Sharif High School. They came to attend Salat al-Jum'ah with us. So we welcome them and we wish that we will learn about our religion. Thank you. So.
الحمد لله نحمده تعالى ونستعين به ونتوكل عليه ونؤمن به ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يديه الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه أما بعد My dear brothers and sisters in Islam and respected guests of other faith, welcome to this holy masjid. And brothers and sisters, for the last 3-4 months in this country, if you have been following the current affairs that is going on, as we as Muslim citizens within this country, we owe a due right duly ordained upon us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the institution of Amr al-Ma'ruf wa Nahya anil Munkar, the institution of enjoying the good and forbidding the evil, the institution of rectifying the society, the institution of purifying the hearts and souls of individuals, the very people that constitute a community, a society. It is incumbent upon us from our very religion, Islam, to be on a lookout. Lookout for what? Munkar. According to the hadith of Rasulullah, where he said, "Man ra'a minkum munkarin, falyughayyirhu biyadihi, fa'in lam yastati' fabilisanihi, fa'in lam yastati' fabiqalbihi, wa dhalika adhaful iman." The Prophet said in this hadith that whoever from amongst you, meaning the Muslims, ra'a, sees, or comes to knowledge of, or becomes aware of, munkar, evil, sinful acts or behavior, فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ, then he or she should take it upon themselves to change that plight, that munkar, by their hand. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ, and if they cannot do that, فَبِلِسَانِهِ, at least by their tongue. And if they can't do that also, فَبِقَلْبِهِ, they should at least hate it in their heart, meaning hate that abhorring, detestful act in their heart, وَذَلِكَ أَضَفُ الْإِيمَانِ, and the Prophet ﷺ ended the hadith saying, that is the weakness or weakest state of iman, that a person should at least feel bad about it in the heart, if they can't do anything to change it from their tongue or hand. Inshallah, in line of this hadith, which is a clear ordainment from the Prophet ﷺ, will at least try to change this act by tongue today. And what I'm referring to, as you very well know, the audacity of some individuals within this state to come out and have issuing marriage licenses to certain individuals. The Quran is very explicit about this issue. The Sunnah of Rasulullah is very clear and vivid and evident about certain individuals who have doubt about their existence, the very creation that Allah has created, who have doubt about their origination of their humanity and human being. As you know that in the Quran, Allah's mother taught about a prophet Lot, a prophet Lut al-Islam, and about the city of Sodom, or Sa'dun, as in Arabic, a city that was dwelling with immodesty and immorality and unchastity, a city that was prevalent with munkar, a city that was adamant and stubborn about something that they began to profess, that this is who they are and how they are. The Islamic Sharia or the Islamic knowledge, the Quran and Sunnah, is very clear on this issue. But the need arises for us Muslim citizens to refresh our mind what the Quran has talked about it, to refresh our souls that we don't dwell into it. And we have a right, we have a duty from our Islam to speak about it and to let the haq, let the truth be known. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these people claim that this is the way they created, and the movement is arising. Pretty soon the whole nation will be talking about this issue. And what really perplexes my mind, it really baffles, that they claim, the argument is, this is how we were created. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really very clearly in the Quran says that فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّذِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. The fitrah, or the nature that Allah has created human beings on, فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّذِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا, the originality, the nature of which Allah has created every human being, is a male and a female. There is no third individual. There is no third gender. There is no third existence. Very clear. And the fitrah here also tantamounts to tawheed, something that is from the oneness of Allah, something from the very basis of this religion. And then we have many ahadiths to complement this theory that the Prophet ﷺ said very clearly, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولِدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ حَتَّى يَكُونُ أَبَوَاهُ هُمَ اللَّذَانِ يُحَوِّدَانُهُ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانُهُ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانُهُ كَمَا تَنْتِجُ الْبَهِيمَةَ جَمْعَاءَ هَلْ تُحْسُونَ فِيهَا جِدْعَاءَ. Translation of which, the Prophet ﷺ said that every newborn child is born on a fitrah, on a human nature, a natural instinct to recognize the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is the parents or the environment as per se that transforms it into whatever nature it comes out to be. Meaning it's the parents and the environment that corrupts the individual. The individual itself is created on the fitrah of tawheed, the fitrah of human being, as its original nature. And then we have other ahadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that Al-Haya' shubatum min al-Iman. The people who engage in such an act, the people who have the courage to come out in the open, a question comes up that is this something that is logical from the modesty and chastity, morality code of life? Because we as human beings living on this earth, we need to reflect upon, not just from an intellectual point of view or religious point of view, but from a logical point of view. Doesn't seem right on this issue to claim that this is how we were created. Because the fact of creation is very clear, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the first human being, Adam alayhi salam, and his wife Hawa or Eve alayhi salam. And there was no a third creation. And the hadith of Rasulullah says that al-haya shubatum min al-iman. Your haya, your modesty, your shame, your shyness, your morality, your good naturedness, and the natural instinct of you to accept something that is good in nature is a part of belief, part of iman. The higher the iman, the more haya. The lower the iman, the lesser of haya a person has. And then another hadith of Rasulullah he said that inna mimma adrakna min kalam an-nabuwah al-ula, what we have received from the teachings of the previous prophets. Here the linkage and the continuality is being highlighted in this hadith of Rasulullah. He's saying that what we have received from the teachings of the previous prophets, namely from Prophet Adam being the first prophet of human and also being the first human being, from that onwards all the way, all the prophets that came on earth up to Muhammad alayhi salam, the last prophet, the teachings that he's saying that synchronizes, that is a universal message of humanity, is what? فَإِن لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَى مَا شِئْتَ. That if you lose your shame, if you lose your chastity, if you lose your modesty, if you lose your understanding of a moral code of life, فَاسْنَى مَا شِئْتَ, then you will see that you plunge into such low level of ethical living that you would do every immoral, immodest, unethical act. This is a universal message that all the prophets brought. It's not an issue of believing in one Allah or believing in one God, but that is what is attached to it is your moral and modest code of life. And that is what the Prophet ﷺ is saying. He's saying that not just Islam talks about it, but every single Prophet that came on earth talked about the same issue. That if you lose your morality, if you lose your haya, فَإِن لَمْ تَسْتَحِي, if you have no more shame left within your conscience, if you have no more modesty or moral code of life left within your personality, then you'll see that you plunge to such a low level that you would do every kind of act that people abhor and detest and dislike. So that brings us to the conclusion that your human being, your humanity is an existence of haya, is an existence of modesty, is an existence of the pinnacle of your belief. Because just belief enough is not enough. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, Al-haya khayru kulluhu. Haya, modesty, morality, ethical code of living, is the khayr, is the goodness, good nature, all of it. Because that is, your shame inside of you is like a self-protected device that is safeguarding you from deviating, from becoming so corrupt to a level that people begin to detest. And isn't that tantamount to the slogan that these people began to use 10 years ago in this country? Or 20 years ago, there would be a slogan, a saying to the rhetoric of something like this, coming out of the closet. What does that signify? I ask all of us today, what does that signify in America, in the United States of America, when someone would say, coming out of the closet? That meant 20 years ago that these people themselves considered this is something that is not right, something that doesn't fit right. Like a jigsaw puzzle, you know, you have all the pieces. So the people felt some shame. They felt maybe guilt. They felt maybe shyness to come out in the open and declare who they are. But now the tides have turned. Now they feel no more shame. Now they explicitly and adamantly, they come out in the open and even get themselves married in front of some mayor's office. And the debate is a global debate. It will not just stay within the boundaries of the United States of America, but this would flourish and go forward. And we need to start thinking and about it, how we need to tackle this issue. Which brings us to the next point that I always thought from my childhood days. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran talk about Prophet Lut alayhi salam and the people of Sa'dun? Why is their mentioning in the Quran so explicit and so abundant? Why is the mentioning of that city of Sodom and that Prophet Lut alayhi salam, who was the nephew of Ibrahim alayhi salam, who is regarded as the father of prophets, Abu al-Anbiya, the father of prophets Ibrahim, whose son Ishaq came from that lineage, all the other prophets, and the other son Ismail came out of beloved Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. Prophet Lut was a nephew. He was the son of Haran ibn Azar, and Azar was the father of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Haran was the cousin of Ibrahim al-Islam. And Lut ibn Haran ibn Azar, therefore, was the nephew. And you remember the issue in the Quran where Jibreel al-Islam and Mikail al-Islam, the two big angels who came to Ibrahim al-Islam, and they said, they came in the form of a human being. And they said, we have been ordained by Allah to go to the city of Sodom and abolish it and wipe it out from the face of this earth, because of the very sin that they were engaged in. Why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this issue in the Quran of so paramount focus, that there is something to be detested, something that is to be abhorred, and something that is very illogical because of the immorality engaged within it? You can ask our Imam, Shaykh Imam Sa'idin Qureshi, as a faqih, as a graduate of law, that in the Islamic law, in the wisdom, in the goals of Islamic revelation, we have something called al-ghariza al-jinsi. The humanistic desire is one of the hikmah, one of the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah as the creator of human beings, it is from the wisdom that we see that He has put within us, this what we call the ghariza al-jinsi. The desire to have affinity to the opposite gender, not the same gender. For the tanasul al-insan, for the continuation of the nasl al-insan, the human species to continue on this earth. It is something that we see. So those people who claim that this is how they were created, my question logically goes to them, how are you going to produce a child? How is your generation going to continue? There is something wrong in the semantics, in the infrastructure of this issue that they are dealing with. And we as Muslims in this country, we should be well equipped from our Quran and Sunnah to tackle this issue. Because believe you me, brothers and sisters, our youth, our youngsters are plagued with this disease every day. Majority of our kids don't go to Islamic schools. Majority of them go to the public schools. And in the corridors, in the cafeterias, in the hallways, always the discussion is about this issue. So parents are naturally going to be questioned. And parents are naturally going to be asked that, mommy, daddy, how are we supposed to deal with this issue? How should we reply back? The question is very clear. If we look at the incident of Prophet Lut and his people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly tells us in the Quran about the story of Prophet Lut alayhi salam and his people, the city of Sodom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Shu'ara, Surah 26, كَذَّبَتْ قَوْمَ لُوتُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ لُوتٌ أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. The people of Lut, meaning the people who to them were sent Prophet Lut alayhi salam, their people, كَذَّبَتْ, they denied and rejected the message that came to them from Allah Almighty, as the Prophet Lut brought to them. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ لُوتُ, when their brother Lut alayhi salam asked them, أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ, don't you fear Allah? Don't you fear that existence of that supreme being that has created you to utter such profanity from your tongue? To show such deviation in the affinity that Allah has created within each one of us? The affinity of opposite gender, not the same. He's asking them, this is tantamount to not fearing Allah. This audacity and stubbornness is tantamount to not realizing the existence of the supreme being who with a snap could take the life of the very existence of these people. And we know that. We know the power of Allah Almighty. We know the power and magnitude and the authority of the creator of everything. The creator of every existence of life in this universe. That's how powerful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. That in spite of all this, He is giving them life to live. And they might die a natural death. But Prophet Lut, as we go on to see, he went on to say to them, أَتَأْتُونَ الذُّكْرَانَ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ وَتَذَرُونَ مَا خَلَقَ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ. Here lies the crux of the issue. The Prophet Lut alayhi salam, when he's talking to his people in the city of Sodom, he's saying, you come to males while leaving aside females. Whereas Allah has created for you your spouses in the opposite gender, not in the same gender. And then he goes on to say, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ عَدُونَ. No, nay, certainly you are a cult, you are a species, you are a special group of people who are far transgressing from the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created life. Allah has created us humans. Allah has created us, given us this whole world and existence. So therefore, it is so very logical to understand that He must have put a right manifestation of an infrastructure for this life to continue. And something that dismantles this infrastructure is not at all acceptable, not only from the point of religious point of view, but even from the intellectual point of view. And that is what he goes on to say, قَالُوا لَإِن لَمْ تَنْتَهِيَ لُوتْ. Look at the audacity of the people of Lut al-Islam. That whatever wrong they are doing, they did not feel at all shame about it. They did not have at all feel any haya, any modesty about it. They were so shameless. Shy or shame was totally gone. This is the height of corruption of the human species. And that is what Allah is addressing in this surah and in many other surahs about the Prophet Lut and his people. Why Allah specifically chose one prophet, not specialized to go to these people. It's not just a prophet that was sent to all the people or other people and then he was also told to address these people. No, a prophet is specifically chosen to go and counsel these people. That look, give up this abhorring, detestful act. Give up this thing that is immoral and immodest. And come to the fitrah. Come to the human nature. Come to the natural instinct. And then he says to them, they respond back saying, قَالُوا, they said to Lut al-Islam, the people who engage in this immodest act, لَإِن لَمْ يَنْتَهِيَ لُوت, that if you do not give up, subhanAllah, it's the criminal, the one on the aggressive and offensive, telling the one who's counseling, who's giving good advice, who's giving a good opinion to recall them. The criminal coming with the stubbornness, saying that, look, if you don't give up this calling of yours, this counseling of yours towards something that is pure, then what are we going to do? لَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُخْرَجِينَ, you will be certainly from one of those who are extradited, one of those who are kicked out from the city. And then in another place, Allah SWT says about them, فَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا, and what was the reply of the people of Lut, the people of Syria, the dwellers of city of Sodom? What was the reply? فَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا, except that they said, أَخْرِجُوا عَلَى لُوتٍ مِّنْ قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٍ يَتَتَهَّرُونَ. Subhanallah. Glorified be Allah. That the response that they gave, that look, take out Lut al-Islam from this city, from this village, drive him out of this place. Why? Because إِنَّهُمْ, they are people, أُنَاسٍ, they are people who love purity. إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٍ يَتَتَحَّرُونَ, these are people who love purity and love to purify themselves. Right there is a manifestation, a testimony to the fact that people who are engaged in this immodest act do not love purity. Because certainly iman, belief, and taqwa, fear of Allah, is from purity of the heart, purity of the soul. So when the soul becomes impure, corrupt, manifested with batil, with falsehood, then it would not at all appreciate when something good comes to them. And then Allah also says, regarding these people, that وَلُوتًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُبْصِرُونَ, when Lut said to his people in the city of Sodom, that you come with this fahisha, with this evil, sinful, detestable act, when you come with this immoral, immodest act, وَأَنْتُمْ تُبْصِرُونَ, and you very well know about it, you acknowledge the fact in your mind, in your heart. Something like, we can ask the people who are engaged today in this, where were you 20 years ago? Where were you 30 years ago? Why didn't you come out in the nation 20, 30 years ago? Why didn't you address some of the males to marry you 20 years ago? Because they knew very well back then that the society is still upright and wholesome and would not at all tolerate. It's all an issue of tolerance. And they're testing the wits of other people. How much can they tolerate? How much can they absorb? 20 years ago, they knew that there will be a far outcry and they will be ostracized and isolated. And that's why they feared. And that's why people use the slogan like coming out of the closet. But today, that slogan is put back in the closet and now everything is out of the closet. Because now there is no more shame left within them. And now they have absorbed, they have polarized and polarized the society, the nation, to such an extent, using whatever means possible, that people now feel nothing bad about it. So much so that the lawmakers say, I may detest it, but I don't want to bring any law. I don't want to bring any amendment to the constitution. I don't want to do something like that. It's an individual act. We know that the Prophet ﷺ said, أَمَّا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَحَى مُنْكَرِ, as Allah said in the Quran, is something that is of a due right. As citizens, as duly rightful citizens of any nation, it's of a right to protect the society from profanity, vulgarity. It's our right to protect the society from immodesty, immorality, something that would make people unchaste and lose their chastity. It is our right as Amr bin Maruf, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Because we have been created as those who love purity, those who love something that is pious, virtuous, righteous, something that takes you on the right track, the straight path, and not something that would deviate you. I remember, I finish with this conclusion of this ayah in Surah Araf, Surah 7, verse 28, Allah says over there, regarding the people who are engaged in immodest act, people engaged in evil and sinful acts, Allah tells about them, وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَحِشَةً قَالُوا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ أَبَاءَنَا وَاللَّهُ أَمَرَنَا بِهَا قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَعْمُ بِالْفَحْشَاءَ أَتَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah says in this verse in the Quran that those people who are engaged in immodest and evil sinful acts, they say, وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَحِشَةً, when they do their fahisha, their act, they say that, وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهَا آبَاءَنَا. We saw our forefathers doing this. وَاللَّهُ أَمَرَنَا بِهَا. And Allah Almighty has ordained us to do this. Allah's mother rebukes them and refutes this claim right in the next verse saying, قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمَرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ. Tell them, O Prophet Muhammad, that Allah certainly does not order or ordain, obligate something that is fahsha, fahsh, evil, sinful, immoral, immodest, unethical, not logical from the mind. أَتَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Do you claim to profess from your tongues things that you have no knowledge of? Are you claiming divinity? Are you claiming authority? Because Allah is the only creator, the one and only, who can ordain things. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ.
Assalamu alaikum.